For like the last 40 years or so, our relationship with technology has had this very clear physical boundary, a bezel.
Right, like a hard edge.
Yeah, exactly. You look at a monitor or a phone, and there is a hard plastic edge where the digital world stops and the physical world begins. But today, we are unpacking a comprehensive 2026 report on extended reality and the rise of spatial computing.
It is a massive shift.
It really is. And our mission for this deep dive is to explore how that rectangular boundary is, well, officially disappearing. The screen is dying, and the physical world around you is becoming the interface. I mean, it's the biggest shift in human-computer interaction since the graphical user interface.
It absolutely is. And to understand why this paradigm shift is exploding right now, we really have to look at how the industry finally conquered the ultimate biological barrier, which is simulation sickness.
Oh, man.
Because for years, putting a screen millimeters from your eyes just caused nausea. The tech just couldn't keep up with human biology.
Right, but the breakthrough starts with the hardware. I mean, manufacturers are no longer just building tiny TVs. They are essentially printing displays using the exact same microscopic technology we use to build computer chips.
Yeah, the micro OLEDs.
Exactly, micro OLED. They pack, I think it's over 3,000 pixels per inch onto these tiny silicon wafers, which completely eliminates that old screen door effect where you felt like you were looking through a digital mesh.
Yeah, but fixing the resolution is really only half the battle. The real trigger for simulation sickness has always been motion to soton latency, that tiny disorienting delay between moving your head and the digital image updating to match your new perspective.
Which is where the AI comes in. The report details how they are using sequence-to-sequence neural networks, which is basically, well, the AI analyzes the pattern of how you move your neck and predicts where you're going to look next. It acts like autocorrect for your vision. It calculates your head movement 20 to 50 milliseconds before you actually move, pre-rendering the frame so the image is just waiting for you the instant you turn.
And what's fascinating here is the biological impact of that speed. Like, tricking the brain into feeling zero lag means extended reality can finally be used for high-stakes, text-heavy productivity without causing eye strain.
It graduates from a living room novelty to a real professional tool.
Exactly.
And we are totally seeing that professional shift in the numbers. Like, the enterprise return on investment in this report is staggering. Specifically, the claim that XR reduces employee training time by 43%.
Which is huge for businesses.
Massive. And the reason it achieves that is muscle memory. Instead of reading a 2D manual about how to repair a jet engine, an employee physically moves their hands through a 3D hologram of one.
They learn by doing.
Right, without the physical risk. That pure utility is why lightweight smart glasses make up half of all XR shipments in 2026. But I do have to push back on this adoption rate a bit. Yeah, I mean, are everyday people really going to accept wearing always-on tech on their faces? Even if it gives you a floating translation or like a digital shopping list, nobody wants to look like a cyborg at the grocery store. It just feels like a massive behavioral leap.
It is a massive leap, for sure. And that social friction is exactly why the industry is pivoting toward what the report calls the universal spatial interface.
Yeah.
Right now, video pass-through headsets rule the market, bulky goggles using high-res cameras to film the outside world and beam it inside.
Right.
But the 2035 forecast points to a total replacement of those bulky headsets to solve that exact behavioral friction you're talking about.
Yeah, I was reading that section on dynamic opacity waveguides. If I understand the mechanics correctly, these are basically normal-looking, completely transparent glasses.
Yep.
But on demand, the lenses can instantly turn 100% pitch black, transforming from everyday spectacles into a fully enclosed VR headset. So you get augmented reality and full immersion in one totally normal-looking device.
Which is an incredible engineering feat, honestly. But it creates a really complex social problem. If these glasses look entirely normal, you can't tell if someone is wearing a spatial computer.
Right.
Which means you also can't tell if they are filming you.
And here's where it gets really interesting and honestly a bit terrifying for anyone standing nearby. Integrating cameras and biometric sensors into daily eyewear opens a totally new frontier of data surveillance.
Oh, yeah.
The sources show these devices capture 12 gigabytes of spatial data per user every single month. And it's not just mapping the layout of your living room. The eye tracking alone can reveal hidden health conditions or even your sexual preferences just based on what makes your pupils passively dilate.
Yeah, you aren't even clicking a mouse. The system just knows what your biology reacts to.
It's wild.
It really is. And this raises an important question about legal protections.
Yeah.
What we're seeing in response is a second wave of privacy laws, specifically in states like California and Oregon, designed to protect what is being classified as neural data.
Yeah.
It highlights a critical concept the report calls the Great Inversion. The technology, the hardware, and the AI are fully baked and ready to deploy, but our human organizations, our social norms, and legal frameworks are completely lagging behind. We are dropping 21st century immersive tech into a 20th century legal system.
So what does this all mean for you listening? The ultimate takeaway today is that the smartphone era, as we know it, is ending and the spatial web is taking over. And one of the wildest forecasts for 2035 is this idea of empathy-enabled infrastructure.
Yeah, this part is fascinating.
Because the XR AI is passively tracking your biometrics, it can proactively adapt to your physical state.
Right, so if the sensors detect your cortisol levels spiking because you are stressed, the interface might automatically soften the lighting in your virtual view, or maybe simplify your visual layout, or play calming audio. It is literally engineering our digital environment to perfectly regulate our nervous systems.
Which leaves us with a really provocative question for you to ponder. If our augmented reality is constantly working in the background to soften the world and keep our biological stress levels perfectly optimized, do we ultimately lose our human capacity to build resilience?
That's a deep question.
Right. If that safe physical bezel is permanently gone and the digital world never gives us any real-world friction, how do we ever learn to cope with reality?